And we're visiting KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma today. It's a state of vibrant Indian nations. Later this week, we're going to take a look at efforts to preserve the Chickasaw language. But today, racial strife in Tulsa, today and back in the day, after Terrence Crutcher, an unarmed black man, was shot and killed by white police officer Betty Jo Shelby in Tulsa. Officer Shelby, who said she feared for her life even though Crutcher was walking away from her and she had backup, was arraigned last Friday on manslaughter charges. There have been protests in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, which may sound familiar to many, but apparently has also been forgotten by many more. It's the site of the Tulsa race riots early summer 1921, when a white mob burned down black-owned homes and businesses and killed up to 300 blacks. We want to take a look at how events then and now are intersecting. Bruce Fisher, recently retired as the curator of African-American projects at the Oklahoma Historical Society. His family was driven out of Tulsa at the time of the riots. Bruce joins us in the studio. Hi. And we're also joined by KGOU reporter Kate Carlton Greer. She's been following what's happening in Tulsa today after the shooting of an unarmed black man. And Kate, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Robin.
And Bruce, hold on there. I want to start with Kate. Just what's the status with the protests of that shooting? What's going on now?
Well, the protests are largely calmed down. Reverend Al Sharpton was out last week and led a pretty big protest there in the Greenwood area that you mentioned. But now it's pretty calm. I expect that when the trial starts, protests will start to ramp up again.
Well, we were chatting earlier with our midday anchor here at KGOU, Storm Jones, who was saying, well, you know, he wasn't sure he was even taught the Tulsa riots in school, which is relatively recent. He's very young. Is that true that people aren't even being taught it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hearing. They're supposed to be taught it. It's in a lot of syllabuses and requirements, but that doesn't mean that students always hear it. I grew up just a few hours down the road in Texas, and I had never known about it until I moved here. So it's not taught widespread.
Right. And there's some, if there's a requirement, it's certainly being taught differently in different schools.
Absolutely.
So, Bruce Fisher, come on in and tell us a little bit about it. There's been some conversation, but take us back. It was Memorial Day weekend, 1921. The riots started after allegations that a black man had assaulted a white woman. That young black man was arrested and supposedly protected by police. But what happened?
And what most people are unaware of is that a newspaper publisher in Tulsa, the Tulsa Star, his name was A.J. Smitherman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so upset because of the violence around the state of Oklahoma.
Well, which what happened was that a mob stormed the police station. The suspect ran away.
They've been doing it. Lynching is what it was all about.
Right.
Too many times African Americans were lynched. Now we're talking about shootings, but at that time it was lynchings,
right,
where mobs would literally take the people out of the jails and,
right,
string them to a tree.
Right.
And this is what A.J. Smitherman was protesting against. Well, on that evening, Dick Rowland was scheduled to be incarcerated, and they decided
the suspect, yeah,
suspect. And so the people in Greenwood who had formerly been military guys, World War I soldiers, they said, not this time. And they got their guns and they went downtown to protect Dick Rowland. And they offered their services to the sheriff to help protect the prisoner.
Yeah.
Well, a shot rang out, and then the violence started. And from that point until midday the following day, it was constituted. There were actually two battles. One that occurred that night, in which the African Americans in Tulsa Greenwood were able to force back the so-called deputies. It was a mob that was deputized, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the next morning, when daylight arrived, another battle occurred. And this is the one in which there were the allegations that the bombs had been dropped, fire bombs had been dropped on African Americans. There were machine guns set up on Telegraph Hill, and they were using military equipment. Just like today.
Well, of course, this was a huge attack and rampage, and we're going to talk more about today. But do we understand that, you know, even children, white children, were killing blacks? I mean, we've seen reports of that.
Well, the commission to study the race riot exhibit, have received all kind of allegations. So there may have been one that's not one that I'm familiar with. But
So meanwhile, what happened to your family?
My grandfather had a church, and he, just like everybody else in every other building in Greenwood, was destroyed. And so out of concern and safety for his family, my grandfather, T.B. Scipio, moved to Chickasha, Oklahoma. And that's And that happened in a lot of cases. Many people left Tulsa. You know, my wife's mother is from Clearview, Oklahoma, and she says all of her life that she felt the anxiety of that one night. She wasn't there, but you got to understand that the word went out all around the state of Oklahoma that they were killing black people, you know, randomly and in Tulsa. And that was we didn't have, you know, the kind of mass communication that we have today. So that was it was frightening for everybody all over the state. You know, there's a photograph in the Tulsa Race Riot photographs in the collection that is a very eerie reminder of what we see today with hands up, don't shoot. You know, you see them marching down the street. Until I thought about it a while ago, we have a photo in our collection that really shows that same thing.
The blacks with their hands up but being shot. Yeah. Well, it's so funny you say till you thought about it a while ago, but because do we understand, even with your family leaving, and by the way, we should say that Greenwood was called a Black Wall Street. It was a thriving, although segregated community, decimated after this. As you say, your mom is one of those who said she'd never go back to Tulsa. But even with all of that in your family history, you didn't even realize the impact on your family until much later in life because you also weren't taught in school.
Exactly. 1999 is when the pieces of the puzzle began to come together. My mother had told me about the Tulsa Race Riot many times growing up, but we weren't receiving that reinforcement in research projects and newspapers. Black History Month didn't cover it.
Well, you just started to say newspapers. You found one newspaper. Was it in the library?
Well, the
following, archives, yeah.
The archives. Before that night, on the day of May 21st, there was an article that appeared in the paper, Midday Paper, says that it was inciting people to come to the jailhouse so they could lynch Dick Rowland. And strangely enough, by the next day, all of the copies of that newspaper had either been had that newspaper article cut out. So even if you look at the newspapers at the Oklahoma Historical Society, that section of the paper is cut out. There was a national search that went out during the commission's work to try to find a newspaper with that article in it, but they couldn't find one, but they all found that spot cut out.
Cut out. That's amazing. Kate Carlton Greer, come back in here. So as you're covering the shooting today of an unarmed black man, and a white officer has been charged, you know, what are you hearing people say? I mean, are they connecting dots? What's happening?
You know, it's interesting. There are some people that connect the dots, some people like Bruce. But by and large, people aren't talking about the current shootings and relating them back to the race riots. It's just maybe this feeling in the air that's more there. It feels familiar. It feels like something that's happened in the past because it has.
Yeah. And in fact, you spoke to the sister of Terrence Crutcher.
Yeah, I spoke to Tiffany Crutcher. That's Terrence's twin sister. And she's one that's connected the dots. She says, you know, this is a chain of events.
The chain breaks here. We're going to break the chains of injustice. We're going to break the chains of police brutality.
Yes, yes, yes.
The chain breaks here right in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I'm challenging everyone from all different walks of life to join with us
and make sure history doesn't repeat itself. Listen, there is even more recent history. There was a shooting of a black man by that volunteer reserve deputy, Robert Bates. He said at the time he thought he was using his stun gun on the suspect. We remember that case. I can't believe that was just a year ago.
Yeah, it was April 2015, and he actually is behind bars right now. He was charged with second-degree manslaughter, and he's spending 4 years in prison right now.
Yeah, for shooting someone that and people questioned why he was even out there with the police. As a volunteer. Bruce Fisher, what would you like to see happen? There has been relative calm here. Should there be, you know, conversations, people brought to historical societies to be reminded, talks in classrooms? What would you like to see?
Every year, May 31st, there's an organization in Tulsa that is part of the John Hope Franklin Memorial, Reconciliation Memorial. And they try to remind people every year, you know, that this event occurred and that we must not forget it.
Yeah, but Kate, I'm sure you're hearing from the police who say they have a very difficult job. They are not the police of 1921 who would give up a suspect to an irate mob. And the officer who's been charged in this recent shooting says she's got a lot of support. How do you heal that divide?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. The DA, when he filed charges against Officer Shelby, said that she became emotionally involved to the point where she overreacted. And so there's this thought that all cops aren't perfect. But by and large, they're not the cops of 1921. They're not knocking down doors and burning down houses. But for the members of the minority community, it feels a little eerily similar in this town where race relations have been a struggle.
Well, we should say, Bruce, I'm sure you want to encourage people to go to the Greenwood Cultural Center where you can see this history.
Absolutely. And the Oklahoma Historical Society.
Yeah. That's Bruce Fisher, retired curator of African American projects at the Oklahoma Historical Society. His family had to flee Tulsa during the race riots of 1921. And Kate Carlton Greer, reporter at KGOU here in Norman, Oklahoma, who's been covering the shooting of an unarmed black man by a white police officer in Tulsa. And Kate will continue to follow that story with you. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You.
Bye-bye.